Well, good morning. Again, it's good to see everybody here today. I appreciate your faith. If you're visiting with us, we're really happy that you're here. And our hope today is that we will all seek our Lord to a greater degree, because this is what life really is. All of the issues that we get caught up in the world, that we get caught up with, we sometimes forget, or at least many in the world forget, the most important things, and that is, who am I under God? And what am I supposed to be doing under God? And this is the focus, the great focus of all things. So today we want to remember that we are, of course, committing the Word of God to our minds. And we have Psalm 42 and verse 1. We sing about this. In fact, didn't we just sing about it? As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. And we have God's beautiful a creation right there. You know, a deer really is a beautiful thing. It means different things to different people, but even serious hunters appreciate, you know, what a deer is. Those who appreciate the artistic nature of art, the art of God's world, appreciate what the deer is. And as a deer pants for water, and you can just see this deer that's been out and maybe running from those that would chase it, and has gotten away from the water hole and looking for water, and it's panting for water. And, you know, maybe you know that feeling as well. But he says, so pants my soul for you, O God. Here's the memory verse. The great desire that we should awaken to, understanding who God is, that we really should see things as they should be, how needy we are before God. And once you awaken to that, it is a lifetime journey to seek after God, and the soul truly lifts itself up to know the Creator in His almightiness, in His love, and His grace. So pants my soul for you. So let's be working on this as our memory verse for this week. We'll be looking at that, Lord willing, Wednesday night as well. So I'm going to bring out what we've been looking at in our Zoom sessions a little bit. This is the year that we're looking at our role under God as far as being those that want to be helpers of fellow man, helpers of brothers and sisters in Christ, laborers for God, co-laborers with God, sharers of the gospel, sharers of Jesus with the world. And we're kind of just going in that direction, sharing and caring, our theme for the year. Well, part of what we're looking at in being motivated to tell others about Jesus is understanding the value of a soul. And if we can embrace the value of a soul, it can do a whole lot for our motivation to do the things that God wants us to do. But we talked about value, how valuable we are to God. There's such a thing as inherent value, and then there's applied value. Either way, we come out to being something that is valuable to God. And actually, God created us with inherent value as far as He is concerned. That's kind of what we are looking at. Now, why is understanding man's value to God so vitally important? And I'll underline vitally. Vitally important. Well, because as we mentioned, number one, it does provide motivation for disciples to teach creation, the people that God has created, that God values them and loves them. May every human being understand their own value, you know, and may we understand how valuable these people are to God, and may we then cooperate with God to bring that which He loves to Himself. There's a strong motivation there. There should be a strong motivation in all of us, and we can grow in this. But secondly, this is very important even from the standpoint of what we're facing today in our culture and have for decades. Intelligence, skin color, nationality, physical differences, disadvantages like blindness or having other troubles. You know, every human is valuable. Every human should understand their own value to God. And that's kind of up to you and me to help people to know that, right? Every person, no matter who they are on the face of this earth, should understand their value to God. No matter what their society has done to them, or their family has done to them, or their father and mother has done to them, what their friends have done to them, every human being on the face of the earth should understand his value to God. And there's something in that that transcends then what others think about me. See, if I'm valuable to God, it doesn't matter a whole lot what I am to anybody else. It is knowing my God, serving my God, looking forward to being with my God. These are the important things. I'll serve Him with my among my fellow men, but you know, here's the priority. Here are the important things for us to think about. So we've seen Proverbs 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And we have to just hop into this bucket of being people who want to share Jesus. You just hop in. Where do you start? Well, there are all kinds of places to start, but you know, it's kind of like one guy said about evidences. Where do you start with evidences? And he was asked, he said, just hop in. If you just hop in anywhere, there's evidences everywhere. Just start learning somewhere. You know, you're going to learn a lot. And really that's true as far as sharing Jesus is concerned. There's just so much about Jesus. But we have been, of course, somewhat systematic in our approach that we can know, you know, what we are doing. But there's just a whole lot of stuff that we should have in our minds. There should be a whole lot of data, spiritual truth, that we have in our minds that tap within us, that we can be able to help others to know who God is. Now, so far we have seen in our studies that value is seen in being designed and created by God, every human being, including the ones that are killed before they're born to the face of the earth. Every human being was created by God according to his image. And that's where we stand. Now, man has messed it up, but God created us as valuable individuals. God, from the very beginning, walked. He wanted to be with his creation. We see this throughout fellowship, God inviting us to himself, eternal life to be with God. That says that God must think something about us. God must value us. We must have some esteem as far as God is concerned. He created us to do this with him or to be with him. And God has also created us to fill man with who he is. And the fullness of God is talked about in Ephesians 3, that the qualities of God, everything that God is, he's trying to put within us, even as a father and a mother are trying to train their children properly so that they're not like all the rest of the world. God is trying to fill us with himself, and that's a fatherly thing. That is a God thing that we're looking at here. That shows that we must be fairly important. He's not doing this with dogs and camels and donkeys and giraffes. He's doing this with the men and the women that he created. And then we see also God's tremendous patience and tenderness as Jesus looked at Jerusalem and as he saw those that would kill the prophet, have killed the prophets, and will continue to kill the prophets, Jesus himself. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And we see this tremendous patience in Jesus, even though he's going to die, be crucified for these people. The opening of his heart to them, how patient he is with them, and tender he is with them. And that shows just how valuable Jerusalem really was. It shows how valuable the human being really is to God. And then last Thursday night, we talked about even God's anger gives evidence that we are important to God. We are valuable. You see, if we were not valuable, you know, when you have something that's unimportant to you and, you know, you're looking at yard sale items, you want to keep what grandma gave to you, but here's something you just bought at the dollar store last week. It's of no value to you. What do? You know, you walk away from it, throw it away. No big deal. You sell a house and you don't like, some yard equipment or a lawnmower, Steve, you know, that you've been using. And so you just leave it there because it's of no value to it. I can walk away from it. But that's not what we're looking at with God. You know, God is concerned about his creation. He loves his creation. He can't walk away. He's emotionally involved with his creation. When his creation does things that will destroy itself, God becomes angry. And this is not a sign of an evil, irrational God. This is a sign that God cares about us, with any parent who would care about his own children as well. So let's talk about, as we continue on, some more things regarding the value of a soul. Now, something that shows just how valuable we are to God is this: God's vigilance and involvement over humans, with humans. We have Matthew 5, verse 45. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And he keeps watch on the evil and the good. You know, there is a doctrine called deism which is it's a very easy doctrine to follow that says I can still believe that there's some sort of creator, but I don't really have to follow him because deism says that some great intelligence or force created the world, but then he left and he has nothing to do with the world anymore. So he's a distant force. And so in deism, you can, you know, see the evidences that there must be something that created us, but you have no responsibility to your God. Well, actually, what we find is that God is a God that is highly involved in our world. And that God is bringing us rain. And when he brings us rain, he's letting that water the plants that he has given to us and the seed that he has allowed and with his power continues to multiply itself to feed us. God is with the just and the unjust, and he's keeping watch in this world. He's aware of where somebody is, and he is aware of what somebody's needs are. And God is heavily involved in the face of this earth. What that says is that, you know, this must be fairly important to God. God must care, and God's not trying to protect oak trees. You know, he's not trying to protect some specific species. You know, some have gone extinct. God is looking down upon humans, and God is involved in human affairs. And we can't always understand what he does, but he is involved, and he tells us that he is involved. And what that says is that we as humans must be important to God, and we are important to God. All this speaks about value. But something else out of Psalm 8 that just says our great value, and it says how much God loves us, has to do with man's high placement over the entire universe. God made the universe, and he placed man over creation. Go back to Genesis, we see that that's what he did. Psalm 8 puts it this way. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. And now the psalmist is overcome, that God is aware of him and has been so big in his beneficence to him. When I consider your heavens and work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? The work of the stars, how is it that you've done this? For you have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and have put all things under his feet, under man's feet, all sheep and oxen and beasts of the field, birds of the air, fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now what this says is, in the beginning God created the universe, all things, and then he said men to man, you do whatever you want to in this world. It is yours. You are the one that is going to have dominion. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. What that says is that God created this great big old monster of the universe, and he said, okay, humans, it's all yours. You do whatever you want to with it. And so that means that we can breed cattle and eat the cattle. We can use their skins, and we can put them on our car seats if we want, or we can do whatever we want to. We can kill pigs if we want to and eat those pigs, or we can multiply them and use them for other things. You know, we can fish out of the sea. We can create something and go to the moon. Can you imagine if anybody would ever do something like that? Wouldn't that be an amazing feat for man to go to the moon? Yeah. Well, not just the moon. Man, if you want some moon dust, do what you will. If you want to do something with the rocks of the moon, if you want to harvest the moon, go ahead. If you want to go to Jupiter, if you want to go to Pluto, if you want to go visit the galaxies that are over here, it's all right, because all of this was made for you. God gave man dominion over the works of his hands. That's an amazing thing. Wow, how important is David? Look, just sitting there at David, you know, there's David. Are you a really important guy? He really is. God said to David, I'm giving you power over the whole universe. You do whatever you want in this universe. It's for you. That's really a tremendous statement with a very strong punch to it about God's love for us and how much God has valued us. Again, he didn't give this to, you know, to a smart dolphin. He didn't give it to a whale. He didn't give it to a monkey. He gave all this dominion to the human being. He valued us. And this says that he thinks something about us, and we are important to him. And it's true, like this psalm states, don't we, even as this psalmist said, consider what is man that you are mindful of him? Who am I, my God, that you would even think about me, let alone to give me the universe to rule over? How important is a human? You know, you remove all these distinctions that humans make among themselves. And how I'm different from you. I have to be different from me because I don't want to be like you. You know, all these classifications of humans that humans make. God says to the human, I love all of you. I have valued all of you. And you are so important to me, I've given all of you dominion over the works of my hands. That's amazing. Of course, what shows God's love and value? But this. Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. And all this list, we're not looking at ascending or descending order. Here's the greatest gift of all that God could give to us. Jesus Christ. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We get the idea, right? You know, it's one thing to die for someone and you know, you feel that he's more important, his life is more important than you. I'll give myself, you know, because others need this person. Okay. Or it's one thing to say, well, you know, this is a pretty good guy over here. I think I would give my life for him. I'll care enough to sacrifice myself for him because, man, look what a good guy he is. That's not what Jesus did. It has nothing to do with what he did for us. While we were still sinners, the world says, so what? But God knows what sin is. Sin is this ugly monster. Sin is this corruption. Sin is this internal decay of the soul like rotten meat with maggots going through it. There's the soul in a sinful condition. Here is sin wherein we have slapped the very creator that gave us the entire universe to use as we would want, is to kick the creator in the face and say, I don't care about you. I have some selfish desires right now I want to follow out. I don't want to think about you. I'd rather have a moment's folly than to think about my creator and the gifts that he has given to me. You know, every time we sin, that's what we've done. That's the condition of our soul, and this is what we have done to God. Do we get that? We minimize everything. Satan wants us to minimize everything. He's the quack. Remember that last week? The great quack, deceiver. Minimize everything. Don't know the truth. Don't see things as they really are. In truth, when Jesus died for us, he was not dying for a bunch of pretty good people. And that includes you, because as far as God is concerned, as a sinner, you're not a pretty good person. You are a filthy, rotten, hell-bound sinner who has kicked God in the face. That's who we are. It was in that state that God said, I will send my son to fix the troubles that those sinners have. How valuable are we to God? What greater love is there that while we were yet sinners, that Christ, God sent Jesus, and Jesus came, and Jesus got on a tortured cross for us after spending a life trying to teach the truths about God? What does all that say? That all says that red and yellow and black and white and short and tall and fat and skinny, those are who are lacking some cell structures and those who have others, and those who have gray hair and those who have dark hair, curly hair, stray hair. You know, just emphasize any distinction that you want to among humans. None of those things matter. God looked upon us as sinners because he loved us, every one of us. He said, I want to fix your problem, and I want to bring you back to me. Why? Because I love you. I need more than that. That's not how we operate on earth. I need more. What do I get out of this, God? So, God, what do you get out of this? I love you. God has loved us. God has valued us. How valuable are we to God? That he would give his own son when we were sinners, to be abused and tortured by humans, nailed to a cross for hours until he's finally dead. You think God enjoyed that process as Father? We've studied that before. No. How rough on the Father this had to be. But it says he loves us, doesn't it? This is so core to our discipleship and so core to Bible truth. Satan, of course, wants to minimize all of this, to cloud this with deceit and camouflage. He doesn't want humans to know who they are, what God feels about them, and what God has done for them. Here's God's ransom gift of Jesus and the plan of redemption, even though we were sinners. What shows our value? It doesn't matter who you are. Here's something that says how important we are. God tells us. Now, God showed us he loved us. He wouldn't really. God even never even had to say in words, I love you, because God proved it by what he did. God so loved the world that he gave not a creation, but he gave something that he did not create, his own son. God said, here's God telling us, God so loved, God penned that. God is telling us how much he loves us. You see, God wants you to know that he loves you. He's proven it, and he's made it in statement. He wants you to internalize this. He wants you to make this your foundation. He told Israel, Jeremiah 31, the Lord's appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. 1 Kings 10 and verse 9, oh, the Lord has loved Israel forever. God wanted Israel to know that he loved them. He wants the world to know. And he wants disciples to know. He wants us all to know. Romans 8 and verses 37 through 39, your scripture reading. Remember these 10 things that cannot separate us from God? None of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. How valuable is Mark? How important is Kathy to God? Does she really matter? Here is God's tremendous love. Nothing will separate. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But let's kind of power out here with these statements. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus himself says, I have loved you. He's on the face of the earth. He's about to die, John 13, just a few hours away from death. Tells his disciples, I want you to know I love you. By the way, I want you to love each other just that much. Yeah, that's what our world needs, right? But here is his people. I want you to love each other. I have loved you. But look at John 17 and verse 23. Jesus is praying for his disciples as he's about to be crucified. Not long left. He's talking to the Father, and he asks the Father to be with believers. He says, may I be in them and you in me, unity. May they be made perfect in one. Maybe we all have oneness and unity, have fellowship, abide in one another. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them. Let's rest that. As you have loved me. I've had tears in my eyes reading that statement. Father, may they know that you have loved them as you have loved me. You ever thought about that? You know what Jesus is saying? May the world know that the love that the Father has had for Jesus, that is the love that he has for the world. Do we get this? May the world know you've sent me and have loved them as you loved me. You know how much God loves you? Have you ever tried to quantify that? It's just not possible. If you begin to think about the love that the Father has for his very Son, the Son of God, Jesus himself, then you begin to get the picture of how much love God has for you. But wait a minute, let's apply this across the board. How much love does he have for that man that lives in Pakistan or Iraq or Eritrea or Ethiopia or America? How much love? How much does he value them? Jesus says, may they all know, may the world know, that you have loved them as you have loved me. And that's especially as we look at disciples, the love that God has had for disciples. Anybody can get into this state, of course, of being disciples with God. Here's God's tremendous love that he wants the world to know, that they can come into this relationship with a God that has this kind of love. This is a very, very special thing. So how valuable are we to God? Wow. How valuable are humans to God? Wow. We might treat each other like trash, like debris, just to be rejected and thrown away. But we are more to God than that. Every human being is more to God than that. And ours is to know our value before God. And ours is to help others to know their value before God. And for them to know about this God that loves them is trying to bring them to himself. Do we see the value? It's an amazing thing. This all has to do with our responsibility, motivation for us. As God looks at the world, he has loved them and valued them. Every single person he has valued. God is trying to to get the world to understand that. He's telling them these things in his scripture. What do? We have the privilege of sharing this information, this beautiful data about God's feelings towards his humanity. And this is what sharing Jesus is all about. Well, maybe you've been questioning who you are recently. We should never live in superiority, that we're better than anybody else. That's not the point of this, because we're not better than anybody else. None of us are. But we should live in the understanding of just how valuable we are to God. And we should be trying to live a life that is commensurate with the valuation that God has placed upon us. Our lives, we should be trying to offer to God based on just how valuable we are to our Lord. Is that what you've been doing? Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you need to repent of your sins. Maybe, you know, you come to the point. You're starting to understand now who your God is. You're starting to understand what your role on the earth is. I hope today that you'll think about where you are. If you've been walking in sin, God is just waiting to cleanse your sins. Yes, he's waiting to cleanse your sins. He gave you Jesus to cleanse your sins. God wants you to come and have your sins taken away. Well, the opportunity is right here. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not right with God, you can be baptized into Jesus right now. There's water on the other side of this wall. You can be baptized following out your faith in your Lord, and you can find salvation in your obedience to your God. If you need to obey the Lord, why not use this opportunity? As together we stand and as we sing.